Hallelujah. Come on, let's love that name today. Jesus, we praise your name. We glorify your name. We lift up your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lord, you're great. You're great and greatly to be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful for that name. Thankful for that name. Praise the Lord. You may be seated today. This is a special, special time here at Harvest. We welcome you each here today. This is an exciting time here in Morning Manna where we are going to dedicate two precious, precious children to the Lord. Amen. We've asked the Young family and the Milton family to join us here in the front. We do not baptize children as some do because we believe very strongly. The Bible says quite clearly that he that believes and is baptized. And so we believe that faith must precede the act of faith and baptism. But what we do is very similar to what Jesus did. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, when he said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Praise the Lord. So the dedication of children is indeed a special occasion here. Our Lord welcomed the children into his midst. And I tell you, children are always welcome here at Harvest. Children are always welcome in. And we teach them and work with them as they grow, and we teach them to love God. And I'm thankful for having to find people to fill nursery staff. And I'm thankful for having to look for teachers because we have so many children. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. I hope that always continues here. Praise the Lord. We value children. They're a part of our future, a part of the kingdom of God. It was a cold winter afternoon, and the wind was whipping up in fury. People were hurrying home for the night. A young girl had strayed away from home and was wandering the streets. It was getting dark. The streets were soon to be empty. She became frightened because it was now dark, and it began to snow. She had lost her way home. Just then, a police car passed, and the policeman noticed this young girl. He stopped to ask her if she was lost. She was so cold, she simply nodded in agreement. "Where do you live?" She didn't know. "What's your phone number? What's your parents' names?" No response. The policeman then took the girl into the warmth of his patrol car and began to drive the neighborhood. He told her, "We'll get you home. Just look carefully, and if you recognize anything, let me know." As they rounded a corner, the girl, she suddenly pointed with recognition. "See that church?" she said. "Just get me there, and I can find my way." There's something powerful about knowing that there is a centering effect in our lives. If we can get together as a church and raise up children to come to the house of the Lord, there is a centering effect of God's presence that it brings to every home and every family, and every child so desperately needs that. And for that young girl to recognize that church building, someone had to have taken her there. Not just a few times, but perhaps many times. It was part of her life. It was part of her world. Children can't often bring themselves to the house of God, but they depend on someone else to show them the way. We believe that within each child is the potential for great things. the potential for great accomplishments, for great joy, for great revival. In each of these wonderful children today, the potential is there. It's our job as parents to work with that potential, to love them and raise them as God directs us to direct our children so that they may realize that potential in time. Praise the Lord. I'm reminded today of that old children's song. It says simply, I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I am a great big bundle of potentiality. And I am learning to hear God's voice, and I am trying to make the right choice. I am a promise to be anything God wants me to be. I love that song. That ought to be a prayer for all of us here today, no matter the age. These little lumps of clay that God has put the breath of life into and delivered into our care, they are great big bundles of potential. They are promises from God. And we as parents, we have such a humbling responsibility in raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does it mean to dedicate a child to the Lord? What exactly is it that we're doing here today? Dedication means to set apart for a special purpose, to commit to a particular course of action. Being dedicated, it's something wonderful. Fathers who dedicate themselves to the task of providing for their families. Mothers who dedicate themselves to the happiness of their home. Children who dedicate themselves to being respectful to parents, to learning in school. Those things are great, but the greatest thing that we can do is dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, I'm yours. I'm not my own, but I've been bought with a price. And I'll live for you, and I'll work for you. Praise the Lord. There was a story in the Bible about this very thing. Hannah was the wife of Elkanah. She had no children, but she desired that she could have children. I guess it's in the heart of most women to have children. It's God's way of replenishing the earth, and it's only by God's design that this is possible. Hannah did not have a child, but she wanted one so very much. So she went to church to pray about it. Well, that's a good thing to do. Amen. It was a tremendous desire, such a tremendous desire that she made this promise to God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, we read, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." She promised God that if somehow he would make a way for her to have that baby, she would give that baby back to God. Eli the priest, he heard her prayer, and in 1 Samuel 1 and 17, we read, "Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Well, that pleased Hannah, and she left happy, thankful for the promise of God that day. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." The Bible says that Hannah fulfilled the promise that she'd made. She nursed and cared for the baby until he was about 4 years old. And then she prepared his things, and she brought along his sacrifice. And when she came to the temple, 1 Samuel 1:28 reads, "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. And, of course, Samuel grew into a mighty, mighty prophet and was greatly used by God. It was all because of the prayer of that mother that said, "Lord, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him to you. Praise the Lord. And that's what we're doing here today. We're dedicating a baby, a child, to the Lord. Today we're dedicating Sierra Dawn Young and Lucas Oliver Milton. We're dedicating them to the Lord, but parents and family members, that doesn't mean your work is over today. It's just beginning. It's just starting. He gives them back to you so that you can raise them and that you can prepare them and teach them and guide them in the ways of the Lord. But we do so knowing that they're really not ours. They're really the Lord's. I love the text of Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" I don't know what they expected his response to be, but in verse 2, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Verse 10, reading on, it says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." We have an example here in a little child of what we all need to be in order to be great in the kingdom of heaven. And so the Word of God, it tells us if we'll receive a little child in his name, that we receive him. And if we offend one of these little children, which believe in him and trust in him and belong to him, then it would be better for a millstone to be hanged around our neck and for us to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Oh, to become like a little child, to have innocent faith like a child, to see only the good in others like a child, to have trust and to have peace like a child. It's our prayer today as we dedicate these precious children to the Lord, that they would always have the protection and the blessings of God upon their life, that the power of God would go before them, and that they'd be well received by others that they meet and grow up with, that they would be protected from offense and hurt, and that the angels of the Lord would encamp round about them. And just a few moments, we're going to pray a prayer of dedication as these parents dedicate and present their children to the Lord, signifying that they are the Lord's. They're not ours any longer, but they belong to the Lord. And then after praying, we're going to present these children back to these parents to raise them, to teach them, to bring them faithfully to church, to teach them about the Bible plan of salvation, to give them every advantage of being raised in the church, in a Christian home. The last verse that we read here today, verse 10, it says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." I love that. We must not despise what God calls great. Children are a joy from the Lord. And according to Scripture, God's angels are theirs. I believe in angels. Some speak of guardian angels. Yet I believe that children, those little ones that are in a home that believes, I believe that those children in their special place of vulnerability have an angel of the Lord. We just read it here. They may not have a whole lot to call their own at this age, but they can look in faith to heaven and say, "The angels of God are mine." We think of kings and queens and their palaces and attended by scores of servants and all of these people that serve them, but children such as Sierra and Lucas, they're attended to by the angels of heaven. Praise the Lord. Brother Jeremy, Sister Casey, Brother Brother Eric, Sister Rachel. Today I'm challenging to raise these gifts from God with the full benefits of a child in the house of the Lord. They may not have much at this point in earthly wealth, but in heavenly riches they're bountifully blessed. And it's your job as parents to keep them in the church, keep them in the graces, good graces of the King of Kings. I want to give us 10 important tips to raising a child in a Christian home today. These are 10 practical things that we can do as Christian parents to be sure we're giving the godly best to our kids. First of all, put Christ first in your life. This is simply the most powerful way that we can create a godly atmosphere in our home. When Jesus Christ is first priority, then everything else tends to fall in place correctly. When Jesus comes second or third or somewhere else along the way, then we're failing to provide a Christ-centered home for our families. But if we'll put him first in everything, it makes so many other things much more simple. Number two, model what a Christian should look like. We as parents, we model what a Christian should look like. Actions do speak louder than words. What speaks the loudest to our children is what we do day in and day out, what they see in us, what they observe in the good times and in the difficult times. We are living epistles to our children. Pray that God helps us always model what a Christian should look like. After salvation and after our relationship with the Lord, our family should be the next greatest thing in life. So number three, make family a priority. Make family time a priority. Schedule a family vacation every year, even if it's just a couple nights in Branson. But find time to spend with family. Find things that the whole family enjoys. Have a family night each week. Plan a special meal together. Take time to talk together. Make family a priority. Number four, teach your children the Bible and about God. God forbid that we trust the school system to be the only source of education for our children. Amen. But we need to teach them about the Bible. Teach them the teaching about God. It must start in the home. I'm thankful for a great church and great teachers and all of that, but it needs to start in the home. It needs to start in the home. Number five, make sure you're connected to the church. It's one thing to be a member of a church. It's another thing to be connected. Being connected means we're involved, and it means it's a great part of our life. And I believe strongly that families that build their lives around the church and the things of God are putting something into their children that will remain all throughout their life. Number six, make church attendance a priority. Children watch. They see what's priority to us, and we can tell them all that we want that church attendance is important. But if they see us making a priority of it, that's what speaks loudest. Amen. You know, I was kind of raised that unless you're contagious or throwing up or had a fever, well, there was a few other instances, but basically we were headed to church. Praise the Lord. Now, trust me, we all appreciate it. If you're sick, go ahead and stay home. Just keep your sickness to yourself. But there shouldn't have to be a discussion every Sunday or every Wednesday. Are we going to church or not? That ought to just be settled. Amen. Church attendance needs to be a priority. Number seven, encourage your children to have godly influences in their life. Our children need some heroes of faith. They need some heroes of faith. They need to be exposed to godly influences, more than just friends at school or in the neighborhood, more than just regular contacts that they would have. We should work as parents to provide godly influences that will surround them with a spiritual and a biblical worldview. You know, there's some distant family members I don't have to necessarily hang out with because that's an influence I don't want on my children. But we need to try to find godly influences that can make an impact in their life. Number eight, pray regularly with and for your children. I remember my grandmother praying in her living room. She had a certain place she'd go to pray, and One time I got in trouble for something, but even as a little kid, had been exposed to the power of prayer. And so I ran into her living room, and I knelt at the couch in her prayer spot. And I don't know if I got a spanking or not, but I knew where to go when you were in trouble. Amen. We should have a time of prayer with our kids. We should pray with them before they go to school. Make it a part of a family devotion. Thank God for Harvest Kids and the push for prayer. But don't let that be the only time that our kids pray. They need to be involved in prayer in the home. Number 9, serve others with your children. I believe it's so powerful to develop our children into adults that care about others. It's not about me. It's not about my. It's not about me, myself, and I, but it should be about souls and reaching others. And we need to put that into our kids from an early age. Find ways that they can serve others. Number 10, share your faith in front of your children. What a powerful example to be a witness where our kids can see it, where they can catch the vision of evangelism, where they can see the example of talking to people about the Lord. If we can do these things in front of them, they'll pick up that same passion, that excitement about reaching the lost. If we can raise our kids in a Christian home, then our home's going to be different than the others in our neighborhood. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We're not meant to just fit in with the world, but there's to be separation. There's to be a difference about our home, and it's the best thing we can do for our children, to raise them in a Christian environment where they can grow and learn to love the Lord. So we're making a commitment today to raise our children in the will of God, with His influence in our home, realizing that He's entrusted them to us, but really they're not ours. They're the Lord's. Praise the Lord. I would like the young family to come, and if they would come here and stand at the front of the altar area today. Jeremy, I'd like to present you with her first Bible. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray a special prayer in just a moment. And today God has blessed your family with this beautiful baby girl. And you've communicated with me about your desire to present her to the Lord, that she'd be the Lord's. So we're going to pray, and we're going to do just that. We do have a dedication pledge for you here today. Jeremy and Casey Young, if it be your intention to present this child, Sierra Dawn Young, to the Lord, and to bring her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, please answer, "We do," to the following commitments. Do you recognize Sierra Dawn as a gift from God, and do you give heartfelt thanks for God blessing you with her? Do you this day dedicate Sierra Dawn to the Lord who gave her to you? Do you this day make a commitment to bring Sierra Dawn up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you this day make a commitment to give Sierra Dawn every benefit of a Christian-centered home, recognizing it as God's ordained institution of refuge for her? Do you this day make a commitment to give Sierra Dawn every benefit of a doctrinally sound church, recognizing it as God's ordained institution of instruction in salvation? Do you this day make a commitment to give Sierra Dawn every benefit of an education, recognizing it must be in harmony with the Word of God? Do you this day ask God's blessings upon Sierra Dawn to guard, guide, and govern her through all her years? Do you this day pledge that when Sierra Dawn reaches the age of accountability, you will lead her to repentance, instruct her in the ways of water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, and encourage her to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Jeremy and Casey Young, inasmuch as you have on this 19th day of November in the year of our Lord 2017 expressed your desire to dedicate Sierra Dawn to the Lord, and inasmuch as you have recognized your need of the blessing and protection of the Lord on her life, and inasmuch as you jointly have pledged to do your part in nurturing and development, and inasmuch as you have pledged to raise her in biblical truth, I therefore, as a minister of the gospel and an ambassador of Jesus Christ, do dedicate Sierra Dawn Young to the Lord for as long as God shall give her life. Shall we together express our collective consent by joining together in prayer? I wonder if the family would come and join with her, and I've asked Sister McCoy and our ministers to come and pray together. I'm going to present you here with a certificate of baby dedication and also your pledge, and you can sign those things here today. And we'll pray she stays sleeping here for a few minutes. Amen. Church, I wonder if you just stretch your hands towards this wonderful family today as we dedicate Sierra to the Lord and present her to them to raise. Amen. Ask for God's blessing, His protection, and His goodness upon this family today. Lord, we thank you for Sierra. We thank you for this family today. We thank you for this gift from you. Lord, we praise you and we worship you today. We pray that your hand would be upon them. God, we pray that your hand would be upon her in protection. I plead the blood of Jesus over her life. I ask, God, that you would let your angels encamp round about her, that you would protect her from harm, that you would protect her from disease. God, that your blessing would always be upon her. I pray, God, that your hand would direct her at the age of accountability to turn to you, that she would repent of her sins, that she would be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and that she would be filled with your wonderful Spirit, oh God. I pray that she would grow up to always live for you all the days of her life, and that what these parents teach her as a child, God, that she would never depart from it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this gift from you, Lord. Amen, amen. And we present her back to this family to raise her in a Christian home in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray for these parents, God. I pray that you give them wisdom. I pray that you give them direction and help, Lord. We need your help. We can't do this alone. But, Lord, if you'll give us strength, we'll work for you and we'll raise her in a great Christian home, Lord. We thank you for your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's celebrate today with him. God bless you.
Bless you. You did so good.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Thank you all. Now, I wonder if the Milton family would come and gather. Eric, I want to present you with his first Bible. Amen. Eric and Rachel Milton, if it be your intention to present this child, Lucas Oliver Milton, to the Lord, and to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, please answer, "We do," to the following commitments. Do you recognize Lucas Oliver as a gift from God, and do you give heartfelt thanks for God blessing you with him? Do you this day dedicate Lucas Oliver to the Lord who gave him to you? Do you this day make a commitment to the Lord, a commitment to bring Lucas Oliver up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you this day make a commitment to give Lucas Oliver every benefit of a Christ-centered home, recognizing it as God's ordained institution of refuge for him? Do you this day make a commitment to give Lucas Oliver every benefit of a doctrinally sound church, recognizing it as God's ordained institution of instruction and salvation? Do you this day make a commitment to give Lucas Oliver every benefit of an education, recognizing it must be in harmony with the Word of God? Do you this day ask God's blessings upon Lucas Oliver to guard, guide, and govern him throughout all his years? Do you this day pledge that when Lucas Oliver reaches the age of accountability, you will lead him to repentance, instruct him in the ways of water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and encourage him to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Eric and Rachel Milton, inasmuch as you have on this 19th day of November in the year of our Lord 2017 expressed your desire to dedicate Lucas Oliver to the Lord, and inasmuch as you have recognized your need of the blessing and protection of the Lord on his life, and inasmuch as you have jointly have pledged to do your part in nurturing and development, and inasmuch as you have pledged to raise him in biblical truth, I therefore, as a minister of the gospel and an ambassador of Jesus Christ, do dedicate Lucas Oliver to the Lord for as long as God shall give him life. Praise the Lord. I wonder if we can together express our collective consent by joining together with prayer. And I wonder if the family would be willing to come and gather around with them and our ministers and Sister McCoy. Let's all pray together. Lord, we thank you for Lucas today. We thank you for your hand upon his life and upon this family. And Lord, we dedicate him to you. Lord, we realize today that he is a gift from God. He is a gift from you. And Lord, you've given him to us for a time to raise, to teach, to train, to direct, and Lord, to teach about you. And Lord, I pray that you would let your blessing be upon this home. I pray that your hand would direct this mom and this dad. I pray that you'd give them wisdom, give them help, Lord. We can't do this without you. We've got to have your help. But I pray, Lord, that your protection would be upon him. I plead the blood of Jesus over him right now. I pray a hedge of protection around him. Let your angels encamp round about him, I pray, all the days of his life, Lord. Let him grow up and one day, Lord, find that place of repentance and water baptism in your precious name. Let him be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for it, Jesus. We dedicate him to you, Lord, and we thank you for this gift that you have given us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He's doing good. And I present him back to you. Lord, I pray for this mother. I pray for this father. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them wisdom, direction, that you'd provide. I pray, Lord, that you would guide them. Bless this whole family, God. What great potential lies in this family today. And I thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless this father, Lord. Help him to be that godly father you called him to be, that he desires to be. Help this mother. Guide her and direct her, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bless these sisters. Amen. Bless this brother, Lord. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Can we give them a hand today? So good. Amen. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. We're excited to celebrate with these families today, and we're thankful for what God is doing. And keep them in your prayers. The older the girl, the more prayers needed. But what a joy. Our job as parents is to develop our children up so that they would grow up to become adults that are spiritually mature. You can't just start at 16 and expect to do that. It has to start at just a few months. I so believe that parents praying in the home, kids from a very young age, perhaps before they can even understand words themselves, they recognize there's something special about that time of prayer. We're thankful for all the children at Harvest, but we're celebrating with these two families today. Amen. We're going to take a break between our services here and come back at just a few minutes before 1, ready to worship the Lord and have an excellent, excellent service today. I want to give them, if they'd like, they may want to take some family pictures here at the front, and that's perfectly fine. Some of you may want to come and congratulate them and just speak a blessing into their life today. Amen. Once again, let's give these two families, the Milton family and the Young family, a great hand today. Praise the Lord. And also, we'd like to welcome you and invite you to the pastor's guest reception today as a just special time if you're able to come. Amen. God bless you. Let's take a break, and we'll come back in a few minutes for our worship service.